In John 15:4, the Lord Jesus there says, "Abide in me, in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself except it abide in the vine. No more can ye except ye abide in me. I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit, for without me ye can do nothing." So we see here the Lord Jesus talking about himself in a metaphor as being a vine, let's say a grapevine, and that we need to abide in him. We need, as part of that vine, we need to be part of that vine, and it's the only then that we actually bring forth fruit. If we take a beautiful looking grapevine and we break a looking branch of it with beautiful lush leaves and even grapes on the end, and we take it and we put it up on the mantelpiece or put it in some special place in our house, what's going to happen to it? It's just going to shrivel up and die. And we see there in verse 6 that the Lord says, If a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch, and men gather them and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. So basically the fruit that could be coming through our lives if we were abiding in the vine is in the end, there's no fruit, and the branch is just good for nothing. All it's good for is starting a fire. And so what we're talking about here is we're talking about the fruitfulness of our Christian life. Okay, so it's interesting, you know, that these days there's this sort of easy attitude that we can believe in God, and then we can just be going to heaven, and because we prayed a prayer and we were saved and we came up the front and we made a commitment, so therefore we're a Christian. You hear people say, "Oh yeah, I've done thing when I was 15 and ever since I've been rolling out of the pub every Friday night, and I've, you know, beat up my wife and my life's a mess, but I did that saved thing when I was 15. Well, I think that if there's no change, there's no salvation. That's what the Bible says. But there is a person who can come to the Lord, truly come to the Lord, be born again and live for the Lord, and come to a place where they start to fall away. And they can come to a place where they're a fruitless branch. It's possible. It's possible for it to happen. Turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 10. Now don't get me wrong, I'm not making excuses. If you're a Christian here tonight and you're just living for yourself and there's no fruit for God in your life, don't comfort yourself in these verses, because it's not God's will for any of us to be a fruitless branch. It's His will that we bear fruit, because He says, "My Father's glorified when you fruit." It's God's will that we bring forth fruit. I used to have a pastor years ago that every time we'd go to church, he'd make us so comfortable about our sin that I just got fed up with hearing about how comfortable I should be in my sin because God was gracious. I didn't need to hear that. I could tell myself that all by myself. I needed to go to church and get told I needed to get right. Okay, so 1 Corinthians 10, reading from verse 1, and the Apostle Paul writing to the Corinthian church says, "Moreover, brethren, I would not that you should be ignorant how that all our fathers were under the cloud, and all passed through the sea." He's talking about the Red Sea when they were delivered from Egypt. "And were all baptized unto Moses in the cloud and in the sea, and did all eat the same spiritual meat." He's talking about manna. "And did all drink the same spiritual drink, for they drank of that spiritual rock that followed them, and that rock was Christ. But with many of them God was not well pleased, for they were overthrown in the wilderness. Now these things were our examples, to the intent that we should not lust after evil things they lusted, neither be idolaters as were some of them. As it is written, the people sat down to eat and drink and rose up to play." Okay, and then it goes down in verse 11. "Now all these things happened unto them for examples, and they are written for our admonition, upon whom the ends of the world... Wherefore, let him that thinketh he standeth take heed lest he fall." So that man that thinks he did that save thing when he was 15 and he's been a drunkard ever since, let him take heed lest he fall. Because there's a good, very good chance, 99% chance, that he's not in good standing with God. Alright? But there is a Christian who can... There's a Christian who can pray that's not pleasing to God. We've all been there. And you know what happens? God brings chastening. Because who the Lord loves, He chastens and rebukes every son who he receives, it says in Hebrews. Okay? So how can we know if we're abiding in the vine? Turn with me to Galatians chapter 5. Galatians chapter 5 and reading from verse 16. Here the Apostle Paul writes, "This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lusts of the flesh. For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh, contrary the one to the other, so that you cannot do the things you would." Okay, now when the Apostle Paul says, walk in the Spirit, it's the same as when the Lord Jesus Christ says, abide in the vine. Okay? And in the same way that when we walk in the Spirit, well, the same way that we abide in the vine, Christ says that we bring forth, if we walk in the Spirit, we also bring forth fruit. Now look down with me to verse 22, and we see what the fruit is there. "But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is... And they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections and lusts. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit." And so we see there the fruit of the Spirit. If we walk in the Spirit, we will have this fruit in our life. Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. And so how can we tell in the Spirit? This is the fruit that comes out of our life. If we're angry and grumpy and cranky all the time, if we're short-tempered, if we're not thoughtful, if we're selfish, if we're not thinking of others, if we're proud, if we're jealous, if for all these things we're not abiding, we're not walking in the Spirit. We're not abiding in the vine. And you know, in order, how do we do that? How do we walk in the Spirit? It's a conscious decision, moment by moment, day by day, for us to submit ourselves to God and say, "God, I'm a sinful human being. I fight with this flesh." The Bible tells me in Galatians here that the flesh lusts against the Spirit and the Spirit against the flesh. It's always fighting. My flesh is always fighting against me doing. My flesh is always fighting to stop me from walking in the Spirit of God. So unless I'm saying, "Lord, I want to have a fleshly response about this situation. Lord, help me to walk in the Spirit. Lord, I surrender to you. Lord, I allow you to work through me. Lord, I abide in the vine." All those prayers are interchangeable. And that's the fruit in our life. But the things before, and I've experienced in my life day after day, that when we get up and we run off on our own way without praying, without reading our Bible, without seeking God, we have no power. We don't have the sap coming from the vine, flowing through our veins, giving our leaves life and the fruit and the making the fruit grow. Because we're too busy living our own life, working, being entertained, playing sport, working on our cars, whatever it is that's our interest, right? Those things God's given us to enjoy. But we're not here to do those things. We're here to bear fruit. We're here to abide in the vine, that we'd bear fruit, that our Father would be glorified. That's number one. Those other things God's given us to enjoy. I mean, who doesn't like to, go out and in the sun and play sport and swim at the lake and do all these wonderful things in God's creation? But these things aren't why we're here. Christ is why we're here. Bear fruit is why we're here. To walk in the Spirit and to abide in the vine. Okay? We read in... I'll just share this verse. Don't worry about turning to it. But in Colossians 1:29, the Apostle Paul says, "Whereunto I labour, striving according to his work mightily in me." And so what that tells us is that we're working together with God. That it's a co-labouring. We're working together with God. And so we work, Paul says, "I labour striving according to his working which is working in me." He's saying, I labour to abide in the vine. I make a conscious decision to abide in the vine. That will flow through my life and I will bear fruit. Now, we don't have to bear fruit in our Christian life. It's so easy. All right, all you have to do is just walk in the flesh. All you have to do is just go in your own strength. All you have to do is do what comes naturally. All right, if your wife or your husband says something to you in a way you don't, something that you don't like, or someone says something to you, or someone cuts you off in the traffic, You know, your natural response is, "Oh, idiot, where'd you learn to drive like that? What, did you get your license out of a Wheaties packet?" Right? It's not like, "Oh, you know what? I've done that before. I've done that before, that thing. I feel sorry for that guy." You can realize. Imagine, how different do those two things look? But how common is it for us all to have the first reaction? Because the flesh lusts against the spirit, and unless we consciously labor to abide in the vine, we just are going to have a natural response. And the other thing is, the more we ex-flesh, right, the pamper our flesh, and the more that we exercise our flesh, the stronger our flesh is, the more natural it is for our flesh to have the response. You know, you've met people, godly people, who are just so gracious. And you know what? The reason why they're just so gracious, and the reason why humility flows out of them, and the reason why grace flows out of them, they've been exercising the Spirit of God. They've been exercising to walk in the Spirit. They've been striving to walk, to abide in the vine. And therefore, their life is fruitful for the Lord. Okay, so the thing is that no matter how we live as a Christian, we're going to be accountable. All right, turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 3. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, reading from verse 10. "According to the grace of God, which is given unto me, as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation, and another buildeth thereon. But let every man take heed how he builds thereupon. For other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now if any man build upon this foundation gold, precious stones, wood, hay, and stubble..." Now just remember, when this is talking about building, it's talking about the fruitfulness of our life. It's talking about our works, okay? Now, gold, silver, and precious stones is fruitfulness, is abiding in the vine, is walking in the Spirit. Wood, hay, is talking about the branch that just hangs out by itself and dries up and has no fruit. The Christian that walks in the flesh. Okay, so now if any man build upon this foundation gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, and stubble, every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by... And the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. So, what's going to happen when we put wood, hay, and stubble into the fire and we light it up? It's gone. It's going to be gone. Gold and silver becomes more valuable. It empties all the purity. Remains. Gold, silver, and precious stones are still going to remain after the fire. And so, you know, I've heard it said before, what sort of building material are you sending to heaven for God to build your mansion? Right? That's not what the Bible says. The Bible doesn't say that He's going to build the mansion with the materials that we send to heaven. You know what? I'm glad that, because then my mansion would be based on my works, not on the grace and mercy of a wonderful God that saved us. All right, but just imagine if the fruitful works that we were doing, if the gold, silver, and precious stones were the things that we were sending to heaven for God to build, because That you know, we can think of it like that. We can think of it in that way. What am I sending? What sort of material am I sending to heaven for God to build my mansion? All right, he goes on to say in verse 14, "If any man's work abide, which he hath built thereupon, he shall receive a reward. And if any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer. But he himself shall be saved, yet so as by fire. Know ye not that you are the temple of God, and that the Spirit of God dwelleth in you? If any man defile the temple of God, him shall God destroy, for the temple of God is holy, which temple ye are." Now, that doesn't mean that you're going to lose your salvation. But you know, we all know Christians whose lives are destroyed today. I know Christians who once upon a time walked with God. I've had best friends who today are so far away from God, you would never have known that they were Christian. You would never have known that they ever knew God. People who taught me in the Scriptures, who taught me, who helped me memorize hymns, and who used to encourage me, God, just burnt, just wood, hay, and stubble, just burnt branches. It's just so sad. And they're the decisions that as Christians we can make. It would be so sad to stand before God and for God to say, I saved you, Troy. I purchased you with my own blood on the cross of Calvary. I rose again. I delivered you from death. I came to give you abundant life. And then I stood before him and said, I've done nothing. I've done nothing. I haven't felt an urgency to go and share the gospel with other people. I've just kept the treasure all to myself. I knew I was on my way to heaven, but I just didn't want to be embarrassed, or I was too ashamed to tell anyone else about it. How ashamed would we be to stand before God and do that? Okay, so it says that he, if any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss, but he himself shall be saved, yet so as by fire, because God is so merciful and so gracious. Okay, it's the thing is, you know, so many things in this world, like I said before, we're not just here to live. We're not here to live for ourselves. Turn with me to 1 Timothy and chapter 6. 1 Timothy reading from verse 9. But they that will be rich fall into temptation and a snare, and into many foolish and hurtful lusts which drown men in destruction and perdition. For the love of money is the root of all evil, which while some coveted after, they have erred from the faith and pierced them through with many sorrows. And you know, when the point is, it's actually not a sin to be rich. Okay? See what the verse says. In verse 9, but they that will be rich, okay? That's they that just desire, their heart's desire. The Bible says that that is a sin and that is a problem. If our heart's desire is just to be rich, then we're in trouble. I know a guy, Christian guy, went to a good church down south in Australia. I used to watch his posted on Facebook, and the Lord, I think the Lord was prompting me to talk to this guy, but every single time I just saw him, he was just posting this flash car that he got, this flash place that he was going to with his wife, and everything was just all about the best of everything in life. And it's not a sin to enjoy good things in life, that's not what I'm saying, but everything was just about the stuff that we have and the places that I go. And it just kept coming into my head, but they that will be rich, right, shall be pierced through with many sorrows. And you know where that guy is today? Was in a good church, good preaching, a good Christian family, and so was his wife. You know where he is today? He's in jail. He's in jail for fraud. And so it's the fruit of wanting money. That's what he was after. He wanted money. He wanted more and more. He was always posting about these people who made this many $1 million. You know, people come to you and with this idea and say, and their number one, selling point is you can make a lot of money. Run away, okay? Amway does it, and a lot of network marketing does it. If people come to you saying you can have a lot of money, just run away. Because, you know, the thing, like Paul said, be content with whatsoever things you have. Like I said, it's not bad to have things. It's not bad to have money and nice things. But the problem is that when we make it our God, they that will be rich fall into great temptation and they get pierced through with many sorrows. All right, and the thing is that we just, unfortunately in life, and I've been guilty, you have, that we just be living, that we forget about God, that we forget about abiding in the vine, that we forget about walking in the Spirit, and our life, even though things are going well and things are happening and things look good on the outside, are fruitless lives. Fruitless lives. As Christians, fruitless lives. Branches out on our own. It's interesting. You don't even realize before you start to wither up and go all brown and be good for the fire, that you're out of the vine, that you're a branch out there, not even think you're growing, but you're not even growing, and no fruit can come. You're not attached. You haven't got the sap. You haven't got the Holy Spirit guiding you and leading power. Okay, turn with me to Haggai. Haggai chapter 1, reading from verse 3. Now, it's interesting. I shared this passage with Paul Brown, before, the fellow who come up for testimonies, who will tell you how thankful he is to be saved today. But you know, he used to tell me before he was saved, "I've got everything I want. Got my house, got this, got that. You know, I can sit out on my veranda, drink my beer at the end of the night, know I've done a good day's work." I said, "Well, that's all very good, mate, but you know what? Your kids are going to hell and so are you." And I read in this passage, and I don't know if you'll remember or not, Haggai chapter 1 verse 3. "Then came the word of the prophet saying, 'Is it time for you, O ye, to dwell in your sealed houses, and this house to lie waste?'" This is talking about God is rebuking the children of Israel about how they were worried all about their own affairs and living their own lives, and the temple of God was destitute. The temple of God was broken down, and they were more concerned with it than with the glory of God. All right, so no fruitfulness. And so he says to them, "Now therefore, thus saith the Lord of hosts, consider your ways. Ye have sown much and bring in little. Ye eat, and ye have not enough. Ye drink, but ye are not filled with drink. Ye clothe you, but there is none warm. Earneth wages to put it into a bag with holes. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, consider your ways. Go up to the mountain and bring wood and build the house, and I will take pleasure in it, and I will be glorified, saith the Lord." And so we see there this whole idea that God says, well, you work all the time, and you put it into a bag with a hole out the bottom. And you know, it's amazing how when our priorities aren't right and we're living our life for ourselves, how God can make, you know, all the money that we make, He can just make it come to nothing. And on the other hand, if we put God first, even though we don't make much, then He just makes it go so far. You know, I've heard stories of missionaries and you know, I just wonder, these people talk about praying that the Lord would like expand their fuel and their fuel tank, and you know, that God would just make this money to go further, and that they sat down and worked out that their bills were like twice as much as what they earned, but they ended up paying them all and they don't even know how. And it's amazing how God is able to provide when we seek first the kingdom of God. He says, "Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these other things will be added unto you. I'll take care of them." But you know what? It takes faith to believe that. It takes humility and takes trust for us to believe that. Because I don't know about you, but if I've got this many bills, I like to get my calculator out and make sure I've got enough to cover it all, and that it all adds up and everything's going to be all right. You know, when the Lord says give to His work and give to missionaries, and He says, don't let your right hand know what your left hand's doing. Don't let the right hand that takes the money out of the wallet, let the left hand that works the cash know what the right hand's doing. Give in faith the way that God directs, as a fruitful Christian, as one that's walking in the Spirit, and I'll take care of the rest, the Lord says. But, you know, the reason why we just can't get this stuff in our head and why we just forget is because we're so busy living our life, doing our own stuff. We're so busy being a branch out on our own, not abiding, not striving to labour according to His working that works in us, that when our lives aren't fruitful. Let's have a look at Matthew chapter 6. Well-known passage. Matthew chapter 6, reading from verse... The Lord Jesus speaking, "Lay not up for yourselves treasure upon earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasure in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through and steal." And you know, there's a perfect parallel there between what I was saying, sending gold, silver and precious stones to heaven. Right? Notice what it says, "Lay up for yourselves treasure in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, where thieves do not break through and steal." So the things that we do, the fruitful things, the things that we do when we're walking in the Spirit and abiding in the vine, they last forever. But the other things that we do, the things that ourselves, the living and the willing to be rich, and all of the activities that we put before God, those things, they won't last forever. We just get to enjoy them just for now. That's why they called vain glory. You know? That's why, you know, people spend their whole life training Olympic Games events and things like that. And you know what? No one ever remembers who came second, who got the silver medal. How many hours and how many years and how many, you know, how much pain and suffering are they actually feeling in their physical body now? Ask people like play rugby and gridiron and things like that. How much pain are they feeling now? And no one remembers who. No one even remembers their name anymore. If they came second, even less. It's vain glory. It's good. It's good for nothing. It's not treasure in heaven. But the Lord says, lay up for yourself treasure in heaven. Verse 21. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. It's wisely said that the true measure of love something is how much time we spend doing it. Have a think about that. Have a think about how much time you spend doing things. What's the thing that you spend the most time on in your life? That's the thing that you love. That's the thing that I love the most. Is it the Lord Jesus? I hope so. And for us, it's not. It's not. Because we just get so busy living our life. He goes on in verse 31 to say, take no thought saying, what shall we eat or what shall we drink or wherewithal shall we be clothed? For after all these things do the Gentiles seek, or the people who don't know God. All the people that don't know God, they worry about this stuff, but it shouldn't be about it. We shouldn't be worrying about those things. For your heavenly Father knoweth that you have need of these things, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these other things will be added unto you. God will take care of the rest. God will take care of you. Therefore, take no thought for tomorrow, for the morrow shall the things of itself sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. I say to my kids all the time, they come to me about this problem or that problem, I say, mate, let's worry about that tomorrow. Let's worry about today's things today and we'll worry about tomorrow's things tomorrow. There's enough trouble today without worrying about tomorrow's trouble as well. Right? But God knows what tomorrow's trouble is. God paid for it. Nothing's going to take rise. And if we abide in the vine, do you know those things won't even be trouble to us? You know, Paul says, I rejoice in my infirmities, for when I am weak, then am I strong. He wasn't worried about those things because he was abiding in the vine. He was walking in the Spirit. Okay, I'm going to just read two more passages here. Let's turn to Colossians. Colossians chapter 1. Colossians chapter 1, 16. For by him were all things created that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created by him and for him. And he is before all things, and by him all things and he is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he might have the preeminence. That means that in all things he might be first. That in all things Christ would have first place in our life. Okay, turn over with me to chapter 3 of the Psalms, reading from verse 1, and we'll close with this passage. Colossians 3 verse 1. If ye then be risen with Christ, and if you're born again, if you're a saved person, the Bible says that you are risen with Christ. So if you're a Christian here tonight, this is talking to you. If ye be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above. Gold, silver, precious stones. Not where moth and rust will corrupt it. Treasure in heaven. Seek those. Set your affections on things above, not on things of the earth, not on living, not on all this, not on the activity. They're there to enjoy, but this thing. For ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye appear with him in glory. So we're not talking about experiencing something now. You know, we're going to appear with Christ when he appears in glory. We're going to be with him for all eternity, with no more sorrow and no more crying, no more pain, no more sin. Who's keen to get rid of the body that they've got right now and replace it with a perfect one, with a sinless one? You know, the best thing about heaven's going to be that I'm not going to have to fight with this sinful body anymore, with this flesh, and to struggle against what I know God wants me to obey. I'll never have to struggle with it anymore. And he goes on to say in verse 5, mortify therefore your members which are upon the earth. So put to death your flesh, put it to death. Abide in the vine and put your flesh to death. And he goes on to say, with fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affection, evil concupiscence, that's a good one, isn't it? An insatiable desire for that which is forbidden, in case you didn't know what concupiscence was. And covetousness, wanting what other people have got and wanting what you haven't got, which is idolatry. Okay, that's what we're talking about. Willing to be rich. And he goes on to say, for these things' sake, the wrath of God comes upon the children of disobedience. The very things that are sending people who don't know Christ to hell. So what part do Christians have in lusting after them or seeking after them or searching after them in their life? If they're the very things that are sending unsaved people to hell, why should we be desiring and looking and living in order to obtain these things? And to say, in the which ye also walked sometime when ye lived in them, but now also put off all these, anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy communication out of your mouth. Lie not one to another, seeing that you have put off your old man with his deeds, and have put on the new man, which is renewed after the image of him that created him. And so the new man that the Lord Jesus has given to us when we're born again, when he took our sin and he took our death and he gave us life and righteousness, a new man, a man who is able to abide in the vine and walk in the Spirit. That's what the Lord wants out of our life. He wants us to be fruitful, be about living this life and not being about dwelling on this earth and storing up treasure here, but about being fruitful, abiding in the vine and living for Him in things that will last. And it's a real challenge for all of us. It's a challenge for me as much as it is for you guys. And, you know, it will be until the day we die. You know, Paul said, the good which I would do, that I find not. And how to do that which is, I can't find it. Oh, wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? And so it's a struggle. It will be a constant struggle, but the Lord is able to give us the victory over it. And so, you know, the power is there. The power is there. But like the Lord Jesus says, abide in me, for without me you can do nothing. Abide in me, you can bring forth much fruit. And he said, if you bring forth fruit, herein is my Father glorified. And in the end, what's a Christian worth if he's not glorifying God? There's no point. He may as well take us now, because we're no use to him at all.